Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd. Welcome to Behind the Numbers Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Tealium. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today, we're discussing holiday shopping expectations. Joining us for the first time on the Retail Pod is senior analyst Karina Perkins. Welcome, Karina.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
And also back again with us is principal analyst Andrew Lipsman. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Sarah. Hey, Karina.
Hi, Andrew.
All right, let's get started with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a November 10th story from Vox titled, "Basically Everything on Amazon Has Become an Ad." Jeff Bezos once said, "Advertising is the price you pay for having an unremarkable product or service." But now Amazon is in large part an ad platform, the third biggest online ad seller after Google and Facebook. This story goes into the history of Amazon's ad business and states that successful Amazon sellers have to spend anywhere between 10 and 20% of their sales on Amazon ads. Andrew, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're starting to hear a lot more about the advertising tax on Amazon, but this is pretty typical with large digital ad platforms. Just to put it in context, though, Amazon currently has about 8 or 9 sponsored ad impressions per search page on that first page of search, which is quite a bit. It's a lot. And that compares to other leading retail media networks that have about 2, 3, maybe 4 at the most. So Amazon is loading up its pages with ads, but that's kind of what's necessary for visibility for sellers. Now, what I think is interesting is that as the page gets loaded up, Amazon is thinking ahead and those ads have to go somewhere else if they want to keep growing the business, and they are. So they're moving into their DSP, doing more display, video, and streaming TV ads, and they're also moving into in-store media. So there's an evolution that's happening here, and I think just at the moment where we're starting to hear a lot more about loading up the page with ads, Amazon is kind of getting on to the next thing.
Karina, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
Yeah, I thought that some of the debate around the kind of profit versus customer experience is really interesting. So Amazon's argument is that by serving up all of these ads, it helps boost profits and so it can keep prices low, which is obviously really beneficial for its customers. And for the brands, although they have to pay for the advertising, they're obviously reaching the customer at the point of purchase. And so there's huge benefits for them too. So it's probably worth that investment. And I think it's just a lot of food for thought for the UK retailers who are setting up retail media networks here, because I imagine these are the kind of things that they're going to have to think about and balance out when they're setting up their offer and what they're doing.
I feel like Amazon being covered in ads would feel like a bigger deal to me if Amazon like looked attractive to scroll through search results to begin with. It already like wasn't that fun a search experience, so putting ads in there doesn't really change much for me.
The other thing that's saving Amazon right now is they rate really well in terms of well-targeted ads. So when we did our retail media network benchmark report, they rated number one for brand buyers in terms of basically hitting the mark. So as long as your ads are relevant, I think consumers will tolerate a lot more. It's when they start detracting from the customer experience, as Karina notes, that it becomes a problem.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, more likely to click an ad if it's something you want. Now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is holiday expectations, which isn't that much of a surprise considering tomorrow is Thanksgiving in the U.S. Andrew, in your U.S. Holiday Shopping 2022 report, you wrote that U.S. holiday consumer spend would rise 7.0% this year to $1.3 trillion. I have a feeling that's not the full story on holiday spend, though. What kind of holiday season are we expecting?
It's a mixed bag. So 7% by historical standards would be really strong growth, right? I think in most seasons would expect there to be maybe 3-4% growth. So it's twice that. The big catch to that, of course, is that almost all of that is inflation, right? So consumers actually will be spending about 7% more, but getting maybe slightly less than they got for those dollars last year. And then how it splits out in terms of e-commerce and brick and mortar. Brick and mortar still drives the majority of sales at over 80%. And that will grow about 6% or just shy of 6%. So that's pretty strong growth numbers. And then e-commerce back into double digits at 12%, but not quite as strong as it's been in past seasons.
Back into double digits, was there a pretty significant dip off of e-commerce last year as people re-entered stores?
Well, it did go to a low as far back as I can remember, where it was just over 10% last year. But that was coming off a year where it grew like 35% or something even higher than that. So I think we're still kind of, e-commerce has to kind of catch up with itself after that really dramatic growth we saw in 2020.
Sure. Okay. So two intertwined stories I've been hearing this year are about inflation and about holiday spend moving earlier than ever. Karina, how are people shopping this year? How is it different than in years past?
So, I mean, in the UK, we've got inflation running at over 10% at the moment. We've got really high household energy bills. We've got absolutely soaring food prices. We've got interest rates, which are climbing, and just a lot of uncertainty. And people are very, very worried about the future. They're worried about making their mortgages. So I think it's a bit of a bleak outlook, unfortunately, this year. From surveys, we're hearing that between half and two thirds of UK shoppers are planning on spending less on Christmas this year. That's on gifts, but also on food and drink and socializing. I think we're seeing that across a few different habits. So that will be people buying fewer items, people buying things on sale, people switching to different brands. I think especially on food and drink, I think people will still buy the food and drink that they want to buy, but they might switch to a discounter to buy it, cutting back on decorations. And we've even had reports of people buying gifts secondhand, which is a bit of a new thing, really. I think that people are spreading the cost as well. Superdrug has reported quite a big increase in gifts already this year. So I think people are starting to buy earlier so that they can spread the cost of what they're purchasing over a longer period.
Sure. And buying earlier, and obviously the US doesn't have that same, well, the US doesn't have the same degree of economic uncertainty happening in the UK right now, but people definitely are buying earlier. Andrew, can you speak to that a bit?
Yeah. I mean, we've had 2 years now through the pandemic where consumers bought earlier because they were worried about shipping and logistics. They were worried about out of stocks, which we were seeing a ton of online, and they were obviously avoiding stores. So 2 years of that behavior kind of set in. And then this year, I think we were headed in that direction already because a lot of those issues, even if they're not quite as dramatic as they were in past years, still exist. But then we landed a Prime Day in mid-October once again. And so that creates that early season tentpole that then the rest of the retail industry reacts to and sets the tenor of the season. So this pull ahead, I think, you know, that Prime Day isn't going anywhere in the future. We're going to have an October Prime Day probably well into the future. This is the new reality. We have a new shape of the holiday shopping season that does start early. We maybe need to stop talking about holiday season sales, which are November and December, and maybe start looking at Q4 in total. And I think that's the reality, is that then there is this kind of lull after that initial flurry that calms down and, you know, ultimately will pick back up once we get into the Thanksgiving period. One other detail I'll just mention about the holiday season and where consumers are at. Maybe things aren't quite as bad here in the US as in the UK, but a lot of consumers, it's not just about buying gifts for other people. It's a lot of self-gifting, and that self-gifting is looking for deals on high-ticket purchases, consumer electronics, furniture, appliances. You wait for those Black Friday deals to buy those things. Well, everybody's bought those things. They bought that stuff ahead the last 2 years. So I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the erosion, is that just people aren't going to buy as much or of the high ticket items as in the past. So that kind of weighs on everything else, but it's going to hit certain categories much harder than others.
Okay. So you mentioned consumer electronics. My understanding is that consumer electronics is taking a dip because a lot of people bought a lot of consumer electronics in the past 2 years. What categories are shoppers prioritizing, if not consumer electronics?
I mean, they're shifting to essentials categories. That's food and beverage, groceries, online, and health, personal care, and beauty. Neither of those are holiday categories. And those are the only overperformers. So I think that's what we're looking at, is all the traditional holiday categories like apparel and toys and the ones I mentioned are kind of lukewarm.
Karina, does that go for the UK as well?
Yeah, from some predictions I've seen, we're going to see declines in things like consumer electronics, clothing, footwear, jewelry. I have seen some surveys that suggest that parents are going to be prioritizing buying gifts for their kids, which would suggest that toys, games might get a bit of a boost. But I definitely think we're going to see a reduction in spend across a lot of those categories. And like Andrew said, the problem is that even if spend does hold up, what people are getting for that money because of inflation is so much less.
Yeah, the categories thing depends on how you think of it. Because if you're my mother and you have 8 days of Hanukkah to fill, you're wrapping mangoes because she knew it was her favorite food. So maybe it's just a matter of getting creative. If you're my mom and you're listening to this, thank you for the mangoes that you wrapped and gave to us as holiday gifts. One of the last questions I have on this, we talked a lot in the last year about revenge shopping, people buying things because they couldn't enter malls for a year and a half, 2 years, and now they can. Is revenge shopping still a thing? Are we past the time of revenge shopping?
I think we're mostly past it. The revenge, you know, rebound that we saw was very evident in categories like apparel in store last year. But now we're comping against those periods where we already saw that behavior take place. So there's probably small pockets where that may be happening. I'd say maybe beauty is the category. That's actually one of the few bright spot categories. It's not a massive category, but it's an affordable luxury and one where now that people are actually getting back out and socializing again, that's still a little bit, you know, different than last year. So the rebound in socialization drives maybe certain types of apparel purchases and beauty. So maybe that's where we'll see a little bit of a revenge shopping bump.
That's interesting. We talked in our Halloween episode about Halloween spending and also about the lipstick effect, people buying lipstick even during times of economic downturn. Interesting that we are revisiting that conversation once again for another holiday episode. Before we close out this first half, I want to hear from both of you what key metric you're watching this holiday season. Karina, what key metric are you watching?
So for me, it's really going to be e-commerce versus in-store and how they perform against each other. I think it's going to show us a little bit how much inflation is going to push people back into stores, because I think we're going to see people going back onto the high street, back into stores, because they want to actually find the cheap deals and they don't want to pay delivery charges. So I think it might give us a bit of an indication in sort of time to come how we're going to see inflation play out in terms of that mix.
If your aim isn't to pay delivery charges, doesn't that also push you into Amazon Prime in that area as well?
Possibly, sure, yeah. But I guess people might feel like they're getting a bit more variety if they can walk down a high street and go sort of visit various different stores. Because I think things like quality are going to be really important. People don't want to have to pay for returns or go through the hassle of having a return. They want to make sure if they're buying a gift that they can give it and that's the end of it. They, you know, they don't want the extra expense associated.
Andrew, what key metric are you watching this holiday season?
For brick and mortar retailers, I'm looking at the average basket size. And one of the things that we saw during the pandemic was that people were really limiting their shopping trips and they were stocking up. So the basket size for a store like Walmart, which is a one-stop shop and had groceries, was really going through the roof for something that's otherwise very stable. And, you know, it crowds out the potential for other secondary retailers to do as well. So that's the thing that I'm looking at. If we see basket size for a Walmart come back down fully to kind of where it was before, it means that consumers are shopping more different retailers and going on more trips. And I think that's the case. They feel safe in doing so now, but that's the one I would watch. And I think it means that there's more consumer spending to go around this season rather than just concentrating amongst the top retailers.
Okay, makes sense. We're going to go to a short break, and then I will meet Karina and Andrew back here to talk about holiday advertising. The most successful retailers are reimagining their CX and creating amazing integrated experiences, whether their customers are shopping online or in store. And you can too, by utilizing the customer data you already have. Discover how brands like New Balance, Love Pop, and more are using Tealium's customer data platform to unify existing first-party data and offer greater insights that wow shoppers. Learn more at tealium.com/industry-retail and get the kit at the link in our show notes. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. Today, I've asked Andrew and Karina to each tell me their top two holiday ads that you need to watch this season. Andrew, give me one of your top two holiday ads we can't miss this season.
So first off, I'm really glad to be doing this with Karina because I think she might be one of the few people who enjoys holiday ads more than I do. It's a great time of year when we actually see some great creative. So I love kind of the full narrative that some of these ads and commercials give us. My first one is a new Lego ad that features Katy Perry and her hit Firework. The ad begins with a bunch of kids around a table, like in a clubhouse, building what looks to be a float of some sort, but the sort of float that only kids can build because it's got, you know, part rocket ship, part giraffe. There's a singer on top. And then all of a sudden they hear something coming down the street and this kid created float has come to life. And there is Katy Perry on top of it singing Firework. I think it's just a really nice kind of homage to kids' creativity. And I love the fact that for a holiday ad, the message that Lego seems to be trying to land is that, you know, kids can always invent and create, and they're not just trying to get you to buy the newest Star Wars set, right? They're almost sending a message of sustainability and to use what you already have and keep creating. So I just really like that they're landing that message for the holidays.
I think it's interesting that they tapped Katy Perry for this. I think it makes it very clear that they're going after parents because Firework came out in 2010. That's 12 years old now.
Apparently, Katy is a known Lego nerd. I didn't know this until I started looking into more on that. So
the ad is, the kids also aren't interacting with Katy Perry in this ad at all. It's like I really feel like she's there for the parents, which makes sense because a lot of ads are there for the parents. I'm excited to see if Lego does something related to this in their Macy's Thanksgiving float. Although I might be making up that Lego even has a float. Susie's not here to fact check me on Macy's stuff. Andrew gave us an ad. Karina, what is one of your top holiday ads we need to watch this season?
So one of my top holiday ads this season, and indeed every Christmas, is the John Lewis Christmas ad. It's a bit of an institution in this country. We all wait for it to happen, and that's the beginning of the festive season. But it's a bit of a different one this year. It does make you cry, as John Lewis Christmas ads always make you cry. But they've decided to focus on children in care. So it starts with a man and a skateboard, and he's trying to learn how to skate on the skateboard, and he's falling over. Returning to his wife, who asks him how he's doing, and he's watching it at work, and you're kind of puzzled as to why John Lewis is showing a middle-aged man skateboarding. But it ends with a foster daughter arriving at the door, and she's clutching a skateboard, so he's obviously been learning how to skateboard so he can share her passion with her and really connect with her.
Oh, yeah. I'd skate a bit too.
You want to come in?
And I think that some of the sales of the items featured in the advert are going to benefit Action for Children and Who Cares Scotland. So it's a really beautiful advert and it's got a really nice theme to it. And I think it kind of reflects the mood in the UK at the moment, which is that times are pretty tough. There's not a kind of big sense of consumerism and it's more about communities really kind of pulling together and helping each other out at the moment.
So this ad did make you cry?
Yes, it did.
Andrew, when you watched this ad, did it make you cry?
It was getting a little dusty in my office, that's for sure.
I didn't quite cry at this ad, but it was very cute and featured a really interesting Blink 182 cover that I thought was...
Yeah, I loved that.
...a quirky choice of song. All right, Andrew, give us one more ad that you need to watch this season.
So I talked about this one in a recent podcast episode, but I'm going to bring it up again because I think it's a very significant one. And that is Walmart's Case of the Mondays ad, which is a reboot of Office Space, the cult classic movie from 1999. And what I like about this, I think the strategy behind it is so interesting. Walmart basically is rolling out Black Friday like deals on Mondays for the holiday season. And what we had mentioned in the past episode is that Mondays are generally the biggest spending days of the week online, and certainly Cyber Monday is. And Walmart wants you to go from shopping offline on Saturday and Sunday to shoppingwalmart.com on Monday and keep you on Walmart the whole time.
Michael Bolton, did you know that Black Friday
is now on Mondays? Sure did.
which means
I just think it's really smart. And Walmart is, you know, a number two player, a strong number two player, and yet still a very distant number two player to Amazon. So it's, I think, a way to make bigger inroads in e-commerce, maybe take a bite out of Amazon in the process and try and stake a bigger claim to Cyber Monday and the subsequent Mondays throughout the season.
If you haven't listened to Andrew's episode from last week on the history of Cyber Monday, you should go back and listen to that. It's super interesting. Andrew, I will admit, I wasn't really familiar with Office Space. I've never seen it, and I'm not even like really familiar with it as like a text. So without you talking about this ad, I think it would have been completely lost on me, the reference.
Go back and watch it. It is, I know that this is a generational thing, so... It came out when I was in college, but I feel like it's very timeless in terms of kind of satirizing, you know, corporate bureaucracy and maybe the mundanities. Is that a word? Of everyday office culture.
You can't
we'll make it a word,
us
right?
on words on this. This is a podcast. Karina, what is your last holiday ad that we need to watch this season? And feel free to make up any words about it.
Okay, so the other one is the Fantabulous Aldi advert featuring Kevin the Carrot. It's the seventh one now, I think, featuring Kevin the Carrot. And they're absolutely brilliant. You have to watch all of them because they're wonderful. This time, it's a bit of a play on 90s classic Home Alone, which is obviously a brilliant Christmas film. And it opens with his family running to board a flight to Paris for their Christmas holiday. And on board the plane, they realize that they have left Kevin home alone, pans back to him, and he hears an intruder and tries to stake a stand to protect his home, nearly sets himself on fire, escapes, lands in a snowman, only to discover that, in fact, it was Santa Claus trying to get into the house. But his family arrives back, and it's all about celebrating being with family this Christmas.
But even though Kevin was a little worse for wear, he was overjoyed to have everybody there.
I'm sorry about that.
The narrator closes by calling on viewers to make Christmas amazing for everyone. And the ad also highlights Aldi's partnership with food donation charity Neighbourly. So again, this is all about family. It's about helping out the community. It's really funny. There's a snowman joke in there that a couple of people got upset about, but it is generally, I think, quite funny.
I was surprised by the snowman joke where the carrot lands on the snowman's body. I thought that was a little bit riskier than most grocery ads are.
It's a slightly brave move for a grocery ad.
I really liked this ad. I wasn't familiar with Kevin the Carrot. I loved the Catherine O'Hara type carrot in this ad. This was a reference that I was familiar with.
Yes, you must go back and watch all of them. They're brilliant.
Our through line on the British ads, though, is really like caring and community, this like element of charity, right? It's interesting that both of the ads sort of have this.
Absolutely. And we saw this last year. I mean, last year was a kind of obvious one. It was a families back together, everyone back together kind of vibe. But we often see all the big grocers and John Lewis, they kind of have a similar theme. So it'll be interesting to see how the other ones come out this year.
I also think all our ads had an element of nostalgia, right? We have Home Alone, Katy Perry, which is nostalgia now, Blink 182, which is nostalgia, and Office Space. So 4 for 4 on nostalgic ads.
For sure. Wishing for better times.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Karina.
Thank you, Sarah.
And thanks for being here, Andrew.
Thank you.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast when she's not preparing her Thanksgiving meal. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Tealium. And join us tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.